It's the Punk News Podcast for the week of December 10, 2013. We're running out of weeks for the year, so stay tuned because we've got some stuff to talk about this week. And welcome back to the Punk News Podcast. This is John Gentile, the host with the most, the ghost with the post. And I am also here with the champion of people, the people's champion, the people's champion of the Republic of Punk News. I am here with managing editor, big boss, Bowser's 10th child, Adam White. Adam, how you doing?
Wow, you went all over the place reference-wise there.
I'm just going off the top this week, baby. It was kind of a slow news week this week, which is okay because past 2 weeks were action-packed. So I think this podcast is going to be kind of tight, maybe kind of short. But you know, what can you do? Sometimes nothing wrong with a wham-bam, thank you, ma'am-style podcast. What do you think, Adam?
We always have the doldrums that kind of crop up around the holidays in December and go until about probably almost February. Like, the whole music industry just, you know, slows and nothing much goes on. Maybe a little bit less in the past few years than it has been, but man, I remember on Punk News like 5 or 6 years ago, we would be struggling to find anything to post during the day during the end of December, early January, just because no one's making a release then. Bands generally are off the road. You know, you'll have bands playing, you know, Christmas or New Year's shows or something like that, but that's not really, you know, super newsworthy or anything. So just sleepy time in the Punk News universe usually.
Well, actually, speaking of shows, Adam, I know that you don't get to go as many shows as you used to because you're a family man now, which, I mean, is a pretty good reason, you know, to stay at home and take care of the kids, you know. You don't want to come back from a night of hard partying at 3 a.m. and your wife's like, the kids missed you, Adam, and you're like, shut up, woman, I was seeing the Menzingers. So I know you don't get out as much as maybe you used to, but have you been to any hype shows lately, Adam? Or are you excited for any hype shows?
I cannot think of what the last one that I was to, but next week is big. Next week here in the Niagara area, we got in St. Catharines, my good friends at Indoor Shoes Records, and they put on shows here. They've got the Flatliners in town touring behind their new record with Off With Their Heads and Sights and Sounds at the Detour Music Hall. Now, I have no idea how local half the listeners are to this show, but Detour is a new venue that opened up in St. Catharines that the Indoor Shoes guys are now been booking pretty exclusively for the past 4 or 5 months. And I'm embarrassed to say that I've actually yet to get out there, and they've had all kinds of killer shows going on, but I'll blame that on the daddy thing. But anyways, Flatliners next week, that's a big one. This next one is always a big deal here. Talking about the same promoters here, the Indoor Shoes guys always end up doing three big shows at the end of the year, usually Boxing Day, which for you Americans is the day after Christmas, and then the 2 days after that, which is the release party for a compilation that they put out every year of a bunch of local bands and bands that they release and stuff like that, called Adopted Friends. So this year is Adopted Friends volume 3 or 4. I'm not entirely sure off the top of my head, but they've got their 3 days worth of shows booked. Bunch of really cool local favorites who we like the Dirty Nail and Grays are playing. So yeah, those shows will be really cool. So if you're in Southern Ontario and you're looking for something to do, hit up Indoor Shoes on Facebook because there's all sorts of shit going on here. What about you?
Actually, Adam, I'm seeing Off With Their Heads tomorrow night. But I'm actually going for Morning Glory. So it's the stop you're seeing. Is that Morning Glory and Off With Their Heads?
No Morning Glory at this one.
Mm. So I'm super excited to see Morning Glory. I only saw them once before at what's called the Bike Church out in Santa Cruz, which is it's literally like a bike shop. And they used to do concerts there. And the speakers blew out, so I couldn't hear anything at all. So I'm super excited to see Morning Glory. On Friday, I saw Annabella, formerly of Bow Wow Wow. Not a whole lot of people know that. I mean, a lot of people know that song, I Want Candy, which is Bow Wow Wow. Not a whole lot of people know that. Actually, Bow Wow Wow is actually a fairly punk rock band. Bow Wow Wow used to just be Adam and the Ants minus Adam plus Annabella, and they were managed by the Sex Pistols' Malcolm McLaurin. But now it's just Annabella and like three dudes, and they played 17 songs, and it had so much energy. And they rip through each song really quickly. The songs are very percussive, very beat-oriented. Not like hip-hop-wise, but like tribal rhythms is what they do. And Annabella is such a phenomenal singer. So I gotta say, if you get a chance, go see Annabella of Bow Wow Wow. Because it's an awesome, awesome show. The songs are great, and she sounds great. But here's the weird thing is, now I'm actually a pretty huge Bow Wow Wow fan. Until about 8 months ago, I thought they were just like some 80s band. But I got into them, and I realized they're like a legit band that just happened to have like some single on the radio, you know. You should check them out. But I love Bow Wow Wow. Bow Wow is a great band, but I understand that when you go see Bow Wow Wow or Annabella, it's like, I mean, it's not, you know, The Clash or Fugazi. You know, it's Annabella just doing some awesome songs. And so when I went there, like, apparently, like, Annabella and the bass player from Bow Wow Wow, like, hate each other or something. And the bass player, like, has his own version of Bow Wow Wow, which is just the bass player and, like, just three people. And he calls it Bow Wow Wow, even though it's, like, not really at all. Well, apparently they, like, booked a show where I went about 4 months ago and canceled. And Annabella had nothing to do with it. But people thought she did because the promoter was shady and, like, put her name on flyers or something. Right. So I go see Annabella at this pretty small bar. I mean, called the Brighton Bar, which probably takes out of about 200 people max, maybe even like 100 people max. And so she's doing an awesome, awesome show. And this guy starts heckling her. And then and this was cool, though. Well, he was right next to me. And I'm like, oh, man, I hope she doesn't think it's me. Because, you know, when you're on the stage, it can be hard to tell who's saying what, you know? And this guy is, like, heckling the hell out of her for, like, canceling this show. And then so she just stops and she just tears him a new one and cuts him down to, like, one-fifth his size, right? But I'm thinking, that's, like, a weird thing to, like, this guy's, like, 50 or 60, probably, like, 50, you know? And so he went to a show just to heckle Annabella of Bow Wow Wow about the fact that he thought, even though she explained they didn't, he thought that they canceled a show. Like this bothered, like, a 50-year-old that much that he had to go to a show to heckle Bow Wow Wow? I mean, that's weird, isn't it?
That is an odd thing to do with your time, especially since you figure you're at the show. If you're gonna, like, you're clearly upset that the earlier one didn't happen, but hey, now you're at the show, so now you can let go of your anger, right?
But not only like I would argue that I would be very confident saying I'm in the top 1% of Bow Wow Wow fans. Like I know a lot about Bow Wow Wow. You know,
you're the only one that I know. So sure.
Honestly, Adam, you should check out Bow Wow Wow. Bow Wow Wow is really great. And so, I was really looking forward to this concert, and I finally got to go. I've been looking forward to this concert for, like, 8 months. But, like, if it was canceled or whatever, I'd be like, what are you going to do? You know, I mean, it's Bow Wow. It's cool, but it's Bow Wow Wow. It's not, you know, Ian MacKaye playing my living room, you know? And it's not like I'm 14 or 16 where, like, shows are all I have to look forward to, you know? Like, if a show is canceled, what are you going to do, you know? And this guy's, like, 50, and he's, like, really upset about it that, like, Bow Wow Wow was canceled. You know,
that may have been like his only, like, maybe he hasn't gotten the shows in years. And, you know, once Bow Wow Wow stopped touring way back whenever they stopped touring, he just cut off music and was like, you know what, that's it. I'm not doing this anymore. Maybe if they come back, I'll get back into it. But, you know, music to me is now dead. And then he had his chance, and then it was taken away from him.
It was almost like he's in prison. Like, this is the one night a year he gets out, and then he canceled, you know? So, people are so weird. And I wish I had stopped and talked to him, actually, just to, like, see what his deal was. It was really strange. Anyways, that was my Bow Wow Wow adventure. Morning Glory is coming up. I'm super excited to see that. World Inferno is coming up. I'm super excited to see that. And David Johansen of the New York Dolls is coming up, which I'm really, really excited about that, too.
Oh, that'd be very cool.
He's doing his solo stuff and New York Doll stuff, which is cool. But anyway, Adam, I don't know. Did you get a chance to go to a Record Store Day, if they had one in Canada, on our Black Friday, which is just normal Friday for you?
As people who listen to this show know, I basically live in the middle of nowhere, so no, I didn't. But I did manage to somehow spend money online on you know, Record Store Day, Black Friday, Cyber Monday related sales of records. Although none of it was really for anything that was like with some sort of wacky exclusive. So I guess it's not really all that interesting to anyone that I bought something on sale.
I bought, what'd you get?
Well, this is from Shop Radio Cast, which is the store that the Punk Radio Cast guys run up here. And actually, you know what I found out, and this is really, really weird, is that those guys, Danny is the guy from Punk Radio Cast, him I'm totally blanking on his partner's name right now, and I feel bad. Don't think of it in a second.
Luigi.
Anyways, No. Her name is not Luigi. Anyways, though, Danny and friend, shit, it's gonna kill me. Anyways, who ran Punk Radio Cast, which, you know, for a long time was like a Canadian, what was it, like Burlington, Ontario or Toronto, Ontario based online radio show, and I think they're still going. Maybe, I'm not honestly sure at the moment. But anyways, though, so they started up Shop Radio Cast, which is that online store that sells vinyl and stuff like that, and. So those guys are Canadian. They actually run the Shop Radio Cast warehouse out of Buffalo because it makes more sense to ship in the States to the States because it's faster and it's cheaper and all that. But they actually live down the street from me here in Niagara Falls. It's just, you know, they never, it's not like a big thing that they announce. So I was like, I forget where I was, but I, it was last record store day because I was looking for they had a special limited edition LP reissue of the of Attack and Black's Marriage, and I remember I got in touch with them because I saw it on their site, and I'm like, hey, I want this record. And then we got talking, and I'm like, you live down the street, and I'm like, I'm gonna walk over to your house and get this record. So yeah, so they live near here. So anyways, though, they had a sale. Wow, that story wasn't interesting to anyone. So I picked up a copy of the new Piss Jeans record, Honeys, which is really good, and I like it a lot. And then a copy of the Black Lips live record, Los Valientes de Mundo Nuevo. Sure, that's good Spanish, right? Anyways, that one. Yeah, I like that album a lot.
Thanks, Armando, for bailing out on tonight's podcast.
Yeah, make the Canadian speak Spanish. Anyways, though, I really like that record. I think it's probably my favorite Black Lips record, and it's just like a wacky live album. It's really good. If anyone has never heard anything by the Black Lips, that would be a really good place to like start and end. You could just do it all there. So yeah, that's what I bought. That's not interesting though, because those aren't crazy wacky exclusives. Which crazy wacky exclusives did you get?
I actually at Black Friday, I didn't think I was going to spend that much money. I spent more than I thought I was going to spend. I would say last proper record store day was kind of whack. I think there was like one record that I wanted, and then the last Black Friday was kind of whack too. I think there was like one record that I wanted, almost like none. This Black Friday was pretty sweet. I got a fair amount of stuff. I got the Tegan and Sarah new 7-inch, which is you know how like these days, like anymore, albums have like different exclusives depending on where you buy them. If you buy it at iTunes, or if you buy it at the other online place, or if you buy it at Walmart, or if you buy it at Target. I hate that. Tegan and Sarah, they put out a 7-inch that had like those limited exclusives all on a 7-inch, which was really cool. Tegan and Sarah's new Heartthrob record is great. The 7-inch is great. I got the Rolling Stones repress of Got Live If You Want It, which was great. I got the new Flaming Lips EP, which honestly, I think Flaming Lips are better in EP than LP form, to tell you the truth. Like,
I think so many bands are better in EP than LP form.
Well, it's particularly like I love the Flaming Lips, how they're weird and they go out there. But the problem is sometimes they go far out there and they never come back, so it like just disintegrates in the noise. With the EP, you know, they kind of start normal and get out there, and then it ends, which is what I really like. I got the new Carcass record on Joe Pallone's suggestion. It's their first. It's kind of like a grindcore album. I haven't really given it a proper listen to yet. And then let's see, did I get anything? I got a couple other things, but can't remember off the top of my. I was going to get the Lee Scratch Perry Super Ape vinyl, but I have the CD version of it, so I'm like, what's the point of blowing $30 for something I already have? Like, I don't need the vinyl, you know? It's not like it's an original pressing or anything, so. Anyways, Record Store Day this year was pretty sweet. I enjoyed it. It seemed that, like, all the
business. So, what store did you go to, anyways?
Oh, I went to this new store that opened up near me, because, I mean, honestly, like you know, I lived out in near San Francisco for 5 years. Best place for record stores in the world. I'm out in Philadelphia now, or outside Philadelphia. I mean, there's some good record stores out here, but not like the Bay Area. But there's a new record store called Jupiter Records outside Wilmington. It's actually like not even really in Wilmington. I mean, it's in Wilmington in name, but it's actually like close to me near in Westchester. And it's not as good as the Bay Area shops, but it's close. It's as good as the Bay Area shops. They get in tons and tons of used stuff and like really good used stuff, which that's my favorite thing about record stores. They don't get in as much new stuff as the Bay Area shops. But as for a Philadelphia-based shop or near Philadelphia, really, really good shop. That's Jupiter Records, technically in Wilmington, but not really in Wilmington. So,
cool.
And with that, Adam, shall we fire up the news cannon?
Yeah, let's do that.
So anyway, as I'm sure the Punk News As I am sure the Punk News readers have been following, we've been talking about this for, I guess, about almost 2 years now. And Adam, both you and I state that we want to keep this in the news because with so many things, people are busy and there's so much news, things fade away. But to me particularly, this seemed important. So that's why I always bring this up. And I think people do care about this, is apparently Russia might sign an amnesty bill that releases the members of Pussy Riot. What happens is, as I'm sure the listeners know, about 2 years ago, this collective called Pussy Riot played like a 1 minute concert in some church, and so they were arrested for religious hatred or something like that. Two of the Pussy Riot members went to jail, and actually they're due to be released in March. There's a whole bunch of shenanigans involved in this. Like, one of the Pussy Riot members, like, disappeared and was like, oh, well, first she was, like, working in, like, a Russian sweatshop. They were, like, making her work in a sweatshop, and it was such harsh working conditions. People were, like, committing suicide and stuff. And then after she complained, she, like, disappeared, and they put her in, like, a tuberculosis hospital and didn't tell anybody about it. A whole bunch of shady stuff happening. Well, anyway, apparently a proposed bill has been put in front of Russian President Vladimir Putin, and basically it says to release people with children who have committed nonviolent offenses. It hasn't been signed yet, and it doesn't actually explicitly name the Pussy Riot members, but it hypothetically would apply to them. However, the counter to that is that since it hasn't been signed in Russia, these things take a while to be effectuated. So since it gets out in March, which is really only like 3 months away, then like by the time it actually goes into action, she'll be out anyways. But on the other hand is, I don't know how the Russian prison system works, but even though maybe she's due to be released in March, maybe they could, like, push it back another year or whatever. Who knows, you know?
Well, see, there's actually a little bit more to this than the stories which were specifically talking about how this would affect the members of Pussy Riot would work. So basically, the bill that's come out here was something that Putin really himself submitted. And it's a kind of like a blanket amnesty bill that was meant to commemorate the 20th anniversary of Russia's constitution. So it's really kind of like, I think it's meant to be like a big one-off goodwill gesture. And it probably has, I mean, if you look at the, you know, the politically beneficial reasons of doing something like this, it ends up, if it goes through, it'll sort of end up solving a lot of these potential Russian black eye stories that are going to be in the international media right as we get up to the Olympics in Sochi. So this wouldn't even necessarily just apply to the girls in Pussy Riot. This would also actually apply to a number of charges that people are listed, like, that are nonviolent charges that are listed. So, like, one of them is hooliganism is on the list. And actually, hooliganism is what the 30 members of Greenpeace that were recently, arrested in Russia were charged with. Or, well, at least they were charged with something far harsher, but all their charges were downgraded recently to hooliganism. So this wouldn't just necessarily affect Pussy Riot. This would also affect all those Greenpeace guys that are sitting there in jail right now. Which is interesting is a local connection for me. There's a guy from Niagara that's actually in jail in Russia right now because he was on that boat as like a, you know, like a lifelong Greenpeace activist. So that's been in the news over here too. So yeah, I have no idea what the time frame is on something like this. But I've got to imagine that if it is something that, you know, Putin's trying to do to kind of like get these potentially embarrassing stories, you know, out of his hair before the world spotlight is really on them. You know, maybe that's maybe that'll go quicker than not.
Yeah, maybe. Like I said before, I just hope this poor girl doesn't just disappear. You know what I'm saying? And it's looking like she won't. But for a little while, it didn't look like anybody knew what was going to happen. So hopefully she gets out of this okay. I mean, I think the whole thing is bunk, to tell you the truth. But on the other hand, Russia doesn't necessarily have the freedom of speech laws that we have in the United States and Canada. So I think, as I've said this before, it underscores the importance of free speech. And just because somebody's saying something you don't like doesn't mean that you should be able to stop them from saying it or be able to put them in a slammer or something.
I won't disagree with that.
yeah, the guys that do stuff in the media are talking about how important free speech is. Well, anyway, so I guess that wraps that up. Punk News fan favorite, the Swinging Utters, have just released a new music video. The track is called Greener Grass, and it's from their newest full-length called Poorly Form, which Punk News, which it looks like Armando gave an 8 out of 10. I watched the video. Swinging Utters have been around for, I guess, over 25 years now, 20 years. I saw them once. They're a pretty cool band. Adam, did you watch this video?
I've not seen the video, no. But it's nice to see something like this actually get a little bit of attention on the site, because I think that even in our younger days, when we were exclusively almost talking about Fat and Epitaph bands, the Utters were always one of these bands that just kind of just like, you know, did their thing, worked hard, but didn't really bring the, you know, they didn't really cause any controversies. They didn't cause everyone to go crazy. They never had like the fanaticism of like some other, you know, fat bands, like say like Strung Out Fans or something like that. They were just kind of doing their thing, and it's cool that they're still doing it.
I actually didn't see the Swinging Utters. I saw Johnny P. Bucks and the something. Johnny P. Bucks and the Filthy Thieving Bastards, I think the group is. But when I saw them, Johnny P. Bucks himself, he didn't have a voice. And so, I mean, it was like a small show, like $8 or whatever. So even though they didn't have a voice, they still did the show, which, I mean, it was admirable because they just basically the backup singers did all the main vocals. And so I think they're a pretty hardworking band that, you know, just gets up there and pretty much rocks out. I actually thought the video was pretty good. A lot of people think the first two Swinging Utters albums are classics. That's definitely the place to start with them. I don't know if they're an earth-shattering band, but, I mean, they're definitely a fun band to see live, and their records are pretty fun, too.
So, cool. Yeah, you guys can find that on punktunes.org.
Adam, the next article, I think, is right up your alley. Pup, the band Pup, that's P-U-P, like puppy, but minus the P-Y, has signed to Side One Dummy. They just released a new album through Royal Mountain Records, and they actually have a video out for a song called Reservoir, and they're going on tour starting day after tomorrow in Ontario, and they're also going to the UK. Oh, because they're from Ontario. So Adam, I know you're pretty hot on this band, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, like they're guys that have been playing a lot of the local shows that I've been going to over the past 3 or 4 years. So they used to be a band called Topanga, like after the Boy Meets World character, and they changed the name from Topanga to Pup when. I guess some channel now has like a spinoff of Boy Meets World that's on TV, and now they thought like, we can't compete with the real Topanga, so we're gonna switch our name. But anyways, though, they had been playing like really solid little pop punk stuff, opening for like all sorts of bands around here for the longest time. But then, you would see them play at show, like they play the Scene Fest that we've sponsored for the past couple of years here in St. Catharines, and you know they would always have a huge crowd out, and the people that would come out to see Pup or Topanga when they were that were always all the guys that were in all the other bands that were playing, like they were one of those bands that were just like really super tight with like the rest of the scene. So, and even the video for Reservoir, I'm watching it, and like all the people that are in the crowd, I recognize half of them, so, which is really funny. But anyways, though, the record that Reservoir's on, which is just a self-titled record, is really, really good. I mean, if you're into kind of like modern sounding, you know, post-hardcore influenced pop punk, it's, you know,
that was quite the genre you just described there.
Yeah, I thought so. Well, because you know, it's not Ramones core pop punk, but it's like, you know,
what was that? It was post-hardcore. How'd you describe that? I love that. It was like 5 descriptors.
Well, I was going post-hardcore thinking that, like, you know what, these are the same kids that probably, you know, sat around and listened to a lot of Kid Dynamite and stuff like that. So whatever you call that, like, not post-hardcore, fuck, melodic hardcore is what I was going for. Anyways, the record's really good. It's Side One will be a good fit for them if they can get these guys out on tour in the States. There's, you know, as far as, I guess, what the kids like or marketability or something like that, you know, these guys won't do too bad, really, because they, you know, they've got that modernness to them that could have them do well. And they're really super fun. I don't know if you watched the video or anything, or if that's up your alley at all, but they're fun. I like them. It's good to see like local guys that have been really working hard, you know, do well.
I actually did check out the video, and actually this is a cool video. What I think is cool, it seems like funness is coming back to punk rock, or as you say, post-hardcore,
whatever,
melodic pop punk. And so that's cool, man, because honestly, like, so many bands don't know how to have fun. So and honestly, as much as people want to be all serious or whatever, and there's nothing wrong with being serious or whatever, but the fact of the matter is, fun bands always win out live. Always. You know, people love funness. And so the video is funny, and it's weird, and the song is cool, too, because the song rocks, but it's not, it's actually, I would say Pup is a very not derivative band. It's tough to pin them down exactly to something, which is good. It makes them sound pretty unique, you know?
Yeah, hence my string of bad descriptors, really. there's a lot of energy in what they're doing, and the record's a little bit varied in terms of kind of like how it's delivering on that. So it's good. You guys should check it out. It's probably, I can't imagine that, you know, if you really want to hear this, you need to wait for the side one release if you're an American. Like, I got to imagine this thing is, like, online to listen to on all the various online streaming service thingies. So go find it. It's there.
You know, another interesting point, Adam, is for, I guess, about 3 or 4 years ago, Side One Dummy was a really, really big label. You know, they had a lot of heavy hitters on the label. Is the golden, I don't want to say the golden era, but it, well, maybe, I mean, is the golden era of Side One Dummy past? Like, do they have bands? Well, they still got Chuck Reagan. They still got Antiflag. So those are pretty big people.
Well, see, I think Side One's always been kind of an interesting label to me because they've been fairly hard to peg. I mean, they traded in the same sort of like Californian Epiphat world that, you know, a lot of the other labels that we were, you know, we've been following over the years have traded in. But they've always been, you know, doing something a little bit on their own, and sometimes it seems to work, and sometimes they get pegged with these weird sort of stereotypes about what a Side One band is. Because really, this was a label that, at least to me, you know, emerged as a thing because they were the ones that were releasing all the Warped Tour comps. So when we were young, and there was like a Warped Music comp, it was always Side One that was releasing it. So like that was my first exposure to that label. They got into a place where they were signing and releasing a lot of stuff by, I'm thinking like they for a while there, they were signing a lot of bands on spec. Like they were going out and finding like these kind of like potentially exciting, you know, like band, not potentially exciting, but I mean like bands that have like a potentially big future to them, but could very well just flare out and go away. And there was a few of those that were on, like they had this band called Maxine for a while. I don't know if you remember them, but they had like a really early Police sort of thing going on.
I like the Police.
I don't remember what happened to them. I don't even remember what they did. But yeah, this kind of like, you know, little bit of like a reggae backbeat, and kind of you had the you know, the singer had like a good kind of sting thing going on.
Here's what happened. Shannon McMurray, I'm assuming that's a guy. Shannon McMurray, the original guitarist and founding member, left the band in 2006 to pursue other career goals. So that's what happened.
So yeah, so they signed a lot of bands like that where they kind of came out of nowhere and everyone's like, well, who is this? And then they didn't really go anywhere. And there was that whole era where Side One seemed like they were experimenting with a lot of stuff, which actually made the label really interesting to me. Then they fell into that whole stereotype of being like the label where old major label acts go to like live out the rest of their years, right? Where like, because they had like, after the Boston's were on a major, they went to Side One. After the Suicide Machines were on a major, they went to Side One. I'm trying to think who else was in that boat, but there was a bunch.
MXPX, they were on a major, right?
Yeah, right. So yeah, they were, and it became a little bit of a joke. Where like, you know, when Less Than Jake finished up with their major thing, where are they going to go? Well, of course they're going to go to Side One. No, they didn't. But that was the, you know, that was the running joke about it, and they were doing that for a few years. But I think that's really a testament to the strength of the label. I'd want to say that like, if these, you know, big established bands are going to be able to come in with an established fan base and they go, you know what, we want somewhere safe and reliable where we know that we can go put out a record and they'll do us right and then we can go off and do our thing, you know, that's not a bad endorsement to have. And it seems like that was the reputation that Side One had going for a while. And then I think ever since Gaslight Anthem, they've been a little bit bolder about, you know, signing new bands or new acts or becoming like a home for acts that are starting to buzz like Restoration. So I don't know. They're an interesting thing to me. you know, they, I still really don't feel like they have like a sound or like a like an identity that I can really peg, but they got to be doing something right because they've been doing it for years and they keep putting stuff out. So
yeah, speaking of Restoration, man, people are going insane over that band. People love Restoration.
It's because Restoration sound like the Constantines, and the Constantines are the greatest band of all time.
Yeah, well, I don't really know anything about the Constantines.
No, that's okay. The Restorations would tell you that. I assume. But yeah, I mean, yeah, that people are really into that band too. So, you know, it's, would I have predicted that they would have ended up on side one at any point? No, but once they said, "Hey, that's where we're going," I was kind of like, "Oh, all right, side one's pretty solid. They're not going to screw you around, so cool." Like,
are you sure they're on side one, dummy?
Am I screwing that up?
I don't see. Well, Wikipedia doesn't say so, but
I'm pretty sure they do. I'm pretty sure they are. Pretty sure they do. Yeah, LP2, the record that came out this year was on side one.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Fair enough. One last thing before we take a break. Boy Meets World, were you a fan, Adam? Did it help you get through your awkward adolescence?
I definitely watched it. I don't know if it helped me.
were you mad when Topanga went from being the weird girl that made Corey and Sean look stupid to being Corey's girlfriend and a normal girl as opposed to an assertive, eccentric woman?
I may have emotionally blocked my opinion of that.
Well, I'll tell you, I particularly remember... I mean, when the show started, well, I was pretty, not pretty little, but I was younger myself, and I don't think I was necessarily, like, that interested in girls. Let's see when that show came out. Boy Meets World, like, yeah, started in 93, yeah, so I was only 10, so I wasn't that interested in girls. But by the end, Topanga was looking pretty cute, I'll tell you that. So, I grew along with Boy Meets World, although I do think the show got pretty stupid by the end. It was funny in the beginning, you know, with Minkus and Mr. Feeny.
Mr. Feeny, there we go, okay.
Do you like Mr. Feeny or Mr. Turner better?
Which was the old guy that had advice?
Mr. Feeny, Knight Rider.
Okay, yeah.
Mr. Turner was kind of a tool, and even Sean was kind of a tool by the end. So it was a pretty good show, got kind of whack. Adam, will you be introducing your daughter to... Well, you have a daughter, right?
Yeah.
Will you be introducing your daughter to Girl Meets World, the new spinoff that debuts 2014?
Probably not, only because, you know, we're one of these people, we're one of these cord cutter people that only gets what's on Netflix. So if it's on Netflix, maybe. If it's on TV, probably not.
Well, fair enough. Other than that, I guess we'll take a break right now. Earlier this year, Nobunny, who is from the Bay Area, he blends together like – he's a very unique guy. His first record was a big hit. Second record wasn't as big of a hit, but he just put out a third record called Secret Songs, Songs from the Ear Mirror, I think it's called. And it's a really, really good record. It blends kind of the raw, crazy energy of the first record, but it's got a little bit better production like the second album. So Nobunny has put out a whole lot of stuff, but stuff he puts out is usually pretty quality. This is off his third album out on Corner Records, and it is called Bye Bye Roxy. The first words that came to my mind, burn it all down and leave nothing behind. Run away, don't worry about tomorrow. And you'll only need what you find, and everything else is a waste of your time. So keep on moving, otherwise you're dying. I got worries on my mind, and I'm always getting high. Yes, I wish I could stop crying. back on the Punk News Podcast. Adam, what did you think of that Raw Gutter Punk / Pop Punk / Neo Reverse Alt Post Pre Hardcore Band Nobody?
I had this whole plan where I was going to repeat exactly what you said as the description, but then I couldn't follow that. So, yes.
Well, speaking of a band that defies definition, the Pixies fired their old basses. I don't know if we talked about that. Kim Deal, who I guess was the replacement for their original bass. I forget her name. The original bassist for the Pixies. What was her name? She's actually pretty like famous.
From the Breeders. What's her name? Brain, not.
Oh, Kim Shattuck. They fired Kim Shattuck, brought in Kim Deal, but then they just fired poor Kim Deal, who was only in the band literally, like, I don't know, 6 months or something?
Not that long. And they bring in Paz Lenchaiten?
They brought in Paz Lenchaiten. That's how I would
Lenchaiten,
say it.
Yeah. From A Perfect Circle and Zwan.
Ooh, well. Zwan. Billy Corgan's best side project.
Oh, Zwan. I haven't talked about you guys in a long time. Anyways. And then there's a video that they released, which we should mention. Which is, here it is, yeah. The videos for the track Another Toe in the Ocean, which comes from the recent EP called EP1. Two questions here for you.
No one cares about the Pixies in 2014. That's the answer to your second question.
Oh, really? Have you ever seen the Pixies, like, on the reunion thing that they've been on?
So wait, what were your two questions? I was trying to prognosticate.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, so, sure. I did, I'm going to say, like, I did see the Pixies when they first reunited and when that was first, like, a big deal. And they were playing, I forget, they were playing stadium shows, or I guess not stadium shows, but like big shows all over the place. They played like an aircraft hangar called Arrow Hall. It's in Toronto, I think. And I forget who opened for them, but it was kind of an interesting show. But like that was when they didn't have any new material and stuff. They were still kind of just doing the nostalgia thing. So like, you know, you go to the show and you really want to hear like Wave of Mutilation, and then you really want to hear like the surf version of Wave of Mutilation, and then, you know, Debaser and whatever else, and then you go home and you go, woo, I got to see the Pixies. I don't know about this, the Pixies are now a band that is making music again thing. I'm not quite sure how I sit on it. So my two questions kind of come out of that. The one is that, have you listened to EP1 and... Well, first of all, I guess, were you a Pixies fan back in the day or nostalgically? And like, does like EP1, what do you think of that?
I was not a Pixies fan back then. I only got hyped to them about 4 or 5 years ago. They're a cool band back in the day. I have not listened to EP1, but a lot of people thought it was whack. I think even Joe Pallone thought it was whack. Punk News editor Joe Pallone. Oh, Greg Orb reviewed this and he gave it a 5 out of 10. And I know Greg Gorb is a pretty big fan, so if he gave this out a 5 out of 10, it's probably kind of a whack record. A lot of people didn't like it.
It's weird. It's now and the video here is for one of the songs on it that fits into this weird descriptor here, because there is, if you do have a chance to listen to that EP, and it's only 4 songs, so you may as well do it. There's a song called Indie Cindy on it that sounds, you know, pretty much like you would expect the Pixies to sound. It's, you know, it's kind of got, it's got like a really nice kind of, it gets into like a groove, and it's got like, you know, Black Francis is kind of just like talking over it and his kind of like crazy guy voice that he does when he's doing kind of like spoken Pixies songs. So it works. It sounds like a Pixies song. It sounds like it could have been something off of you know, off of an earlier record. But the first two tracks on it, there's something called Andro Queen, and then there's Another Toe, which is the one that the video is for on Punk News right now. And they're so weird because they're incredibly compressed. And just like there's just a entirely purposeful amount of really cranked up, I don't want to say like vocoder, but like crazy auto-tune stuff going on on the vocals on it. which does not make Frank Black sound at all like himself. And it's clearly not something that, like, they did, like, oh, it was just bad production or anything like that. Like, it's clearly, like part of the artistic statement they were trying to make with those songs. Like, they wanted them to sound like that. But I cannot for the life of me figure out why they'd want them to sound like that. Because while they sound okay in isolation, they totally don't sound like the Pixies to me. And, I mean, I get the you know, Pixies were always kind of a weird band, and they could go in lots of directions. But, you know, this many years after they were in their prime, they definitely have a sound. So to come back with an EP on a, you know, coming off a reunion tour years after you originally broke up, and to release something that sounds like so completely out of left field from what people knew you as is, I don't know. Why not just make that a new band is where I'd go with it.
Adam, Pixies or the Smiths? You can only pick one.
I would go Pixies.
See, I go Smiths, but I respect your decision.
I see. Now, I now that's only that is only a decision made out of
contempt for Morrissey.
Well, no. I mean, not out of entirely contempt for Morrissey. Although I suppose that plays a little bit of it. Is that, I mean, you and I are probably about the same age. So when it comes to these bands, we had to go find these bands and get into them ourselves. It's not just something we would have just been exposed to because,
true,
you know, everyone else was listening to this, you know, it wasn't like the Smiths were like the big band on the radio when we were teenagers. So we just got into the Smiths, right? Like, it was something you had to go out and seek. So I went out and for whatever reason, I sought out the Pixies first. So I have a lot, I spent a lot more time with them. Like, to me, they're a band that I have way more history with than the Smiths. So, you know, well, I totally dig Smiths. I would go Pixies.
Well, fair enough. Moving on, Chris Farron of Punk News, perennial favorites, Fake Problems, who were super duper popular at Punk News about 2 years ago. I think they're still popular at Punk News, but maybe not quite as much as they were 2 years ago. That he just put on an online cover of Sky Ferreira's song 24 Hours from her debut Nighttime. Three questions, Adam. Adam, are you a Fake Problems fan? Second question, are you a Sky Ferreira fan or do you know anything about her? Third question, what did you think of this song?
All right, first question, yes, I'm a huge Fake Problems fan. I've become far more of a Fake Problems fan as time has gone on and as they have gotten weirder and as they have gotten down their own little path. Two, I have no idea who Sky Ferreira is. I don't know who that is. I have no idea. And three, I kind of liked this, and I liked this because it fits into the whole weird Chris Farron Fake Problems narrative that I've kind of built up in my head. In that, you know, for as much of like a, you know, an internet comedian as Chris tries to be a lot on Twitter and whatever else, he's an incredibly adept pop songwriter. And with recent Pixies releases, he's really kind of just allowed that to
Pixies,
Jesus Christ. Okay, not the Pixies.
With oh shit! They fired their bassist again, and Chris Farron is now the new bassist.
Anyways, hello, I'm Adam. Welcome to the Punk News Podcast. With the recent Fake Problems releases, they've allowed that to sort of take over the direction of where they were going. And or I guess what they've done is they've embraced it, and they're not trying to be punk, or they're not trying to fit into kind of some existing sound. Because if you heard the original few or the first couple of Fake Problems releases that came out, they were very much in the that No Idea sound. Like, they had this kind of like post Against Me thing going to them with this like gruff folk punk thing happening, and it was fine. It wasn't really all that distinctive, and you know, you could have very easily, if they would have not released anything but their first couple EPs. There was like the Spokes and Spurs was the one. I don't have the entire name of that record, but that one. If that was it, and then they went away, it would have been easy for people to look at that and go, "Oh yeah, well there was a huge explosion of folk punk bands after Against Me became popular," and then just left it at that. But you look at something like Real Ghost Caught on Tape, which sheds a lot of the aggression and just goes in for like just writing good hooks. I think that they have become way more interesting a band. I'm really looking forward to whatever they release next for that reason, because I'm pretty sure it's probably going to piss people off because it's probably not going to sound, you know, at all like the work of a Post Against Me folk punk band.
Yeah, actually, you know what? They haven't even put out anything really that big since 2010's Real Ghosts on Tape. They put out a split this year, but other than that, they haven't put out hardly anything.
Yeah, so, I mean, they all seem active. They're all at least they all talk a lot on Twitter, which I guess means they're active. But, you know, they seem to be fairly engaged with what's going on in music still. I know, Derek Perry from Fake Problems has been producing and stuff like that. So, you know, these guys are doing stuff. So I assume at some point we'll get another record.
As to Sky Ferreira, Adam, I wouldn't have known who she was either, except for just as circumstance happened upon me. I saw her open for another band, and Sky Ferreira is a testament as to how much what marketing can do. Right now, she's a model. She's only like 21 or 20, or she's very young, and she's a model. And then she started this group, Sky Ferreira, and it's her music is very hip. I guess it's considered to be very hip. Like, she plays hip venues, hip people go there. They like her on Bork, right? But if you just listen to it completely in isolation, you would just say, "Oh, this is pop music," like Madonna or like Lady Gaga, you know, that kind of music, you know. And but actually, I mean, like, it's not even as avant-garde as Lady Gaga. It basically sounds like Madonna's second record. What's the name of Madonna's second record? The one with Shining Star on it. I can't remember. I mean, it sounds like classic period Madonna. And I gotta say, I saw her live, and it was pretty good. I mean, like, I don't hate Madonna. I think Madonna's, you know, I mean, I'm not a Madonna maniac, but, like, you know, if Shining Star comes on the radio or Borderline, I'll snap my thumbs to it, you know. And I saw her, and I mean, she's not a phenomenal singer, but she's pretty good. And the songs are, like, really catchy pop songs, and pop in the 80s or 90s sense. Like, just, like, pop music, not, like, pop rock, and not pop like Sinatra, just straight up pop. Whitney Houston pop, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was good. I really did enjoy it. It wasn't life-changing, but I was surprised at how good it was, because honestly, I thought it was going to be really bad. Her record was pretty highly revered this year. Or not revered, reviewed, I guess. I thought the record wasn't quite as good, to tell you the truth. I thought the record was a little bit more stale and not as interesting. But that's who Sky Ferreira is. She's a bit of a controversial figure, because she and the guy from Dive, do you know that band Dive? D-I-I-V?
I do not.
They were arrested with, like, heroin pills and stuff. Let me get this right, because I don't want to slander anybody. But they were arrested. They haven't been convicted yet, but they were arrested for some pretty heavy-duty stuff. And, like I guess the narrative is, like, what's this girl doing, you know, getting arrested for? I'll tell you what she got arrested for, with Dive, Zachary Cole. They're both models, but they're also both in bands. Let me tell you what they got arrested for. One second. So like, she's kind of like a controversial figure. Like, you know, like, if you're involved in, like, controversy, like, if you're a pretty good musician, people kind of think, oh, you're fantastic, you know, because you've got a dark side. You know, oh, yeah, this is heavy-duty stuff, man. Reportedly, they were arrested with 42 decks of heroin. I don't know what a deck of heroin
is. Yeah, what is a deck? Let's find out.
I'm assuming that's one dose, you know? Let's see. What is a deck of heroin? But, I mean, you know, like, heroin ain't weed, you know? It's not even cocaine. I mean, that's heavy-duty stuff, you know?
Are you on the about.com parenting teens?
I am!
Drug slang dictionary for heroin, because that's where I am.
That's how I am.
A deck is 1 to 15 grams, also known as a bag.
I guess it's got to be one dose, right?
We're just not hardcore rock and roll people.
I'm not, man. I know, like, nothing about drugs, to tell you the truth. But I mean, honestly, I would say for some reason right now, maybe more so like 2 years ago or a year ago, cocaine was like really cool. Like, even like punk rockers were like doing cocaine, which blew my mind, because like it's expensive and it's such a dumb drug to do. And now like heroin's cool. Like the past year I've been reading about people doing heroin, which is like the dumbest drug you can do. You know, well, not the dumbest, but it's pretty dumb to do heroin. So listen, kids, this is old Pappy Johnny G speaking out to you. And maybe Pappy Adam W will agree with me here. Listen, kids. There's a lot of peer pressure out there, and right now, drugs are very hip. You read different magazines, you go to movies, drugs are hip. You know, I actually saw like several movies where people did cocaine and like they acted like you can just do cocaine and you'll be fine. Like, I mean, like you won't get like that high or anything. And they express that there's no danger in doing cocaine. Let me tell you, kids, I'm not trying to come down as a parental notice or whatever. The more you know, but A, don't get involved in cocaine, kids. It's not a good thing to do. It's easy to get hooked. It's expensive and it's stupid. I mean, it can really permanently damage you. And more so, kids, don't get involved in heroin. That's really stupid. I mean, it's easy to die on heroin. It's really easy to get hooked. So don't be doing any of that stuff. You know what I mean? What else? I mean, I don't know how I can say it without saying preachy. But I just don't know why so many people are being hip to, like, these heavy drugs these days. Heavy drugs are not to be messed with, you know? Adam, can I get an amen or what?
Well, yeah, of course. It seems completely self-explanatory. However, I'm going to divert your serious point now and say, could you imagine being a parent and reading the parentingteens.about.com heroin dictionary here and trying to talk to your kid about drugs using all these ridiculous words like, so Billy, I just wanted to see, have you had any have your friends been offering you any muzzle, any joy flakes, any jive do d, any jg, any horse, any hero, any glope, tell any me, gamut, dado, fairy dust.
When's the last time you were tapping the bags?
Yeah. What about dog food, Billy? You into dog food? Any got dirt?
Got any schmeck on you? How about some red chicken?
Oh, God. Heroin is hilarious. Anyways. Yeah, heroin is not hilarious. Don't do heroin.
Don't do the red chicken, kids. Stay off the red chicken.
Oh, I could read this list all night. Okay, get off this site.
Anyway, man, I just can't believe people are doing heroin these days. It blows my mind. Blows my mind. What, I'll tell you what else is blowing my mind there, Adam. The Pooza Fest 2014 lineup.
Oh my God.
It's better than Red Chicken, let me tell you.
Pooza is, this would be, I think, the fourth year of Pooza, maybe the fifth, it might be I don't know, it's one of the recent years of Pooza. We've been involved for the past 2 years and we're going to be involved again this year as sponsors of some sort, and they've been kind of slowly trickling out the lineup, and so far the lineup this year has me way more excited than last. So earlier in the previous announcement here we had where was it here boom boom boom. So last time we had Dillinger Four, and they never play up here in Canada, so that was really cool. Reagan Youth, which is amazing, the Mad Caddies, the Turbo ACs, Restorations, and the Holy Mess, because you can't have a music festival without having like 10 bands in Philadelphia play it. And that was the earlier announcement. So this latest batch that's come out, and so we got the Menzingers again, Philadelphia, we got Tim Barry from Avail, Deals Gone Bad, and to my incredible overexcitement, Chicks Dig It are playing Pooza Fest. So Chicks Dig It is amazing. So as you should all know, because you all own all their records, Calgary Pop Punk Band was on the Fat Records imprint that they had in the 90s called Honest Dawns. Yeah, Chicks Dig It are amazing. So that makes it for me. They could be like Chicks Dig It and then a bunch of jerks, and I would go to the Pooza to see Chicks Dig It.
I'll never get that Honest Don's comp that has like a clown taking a shit in like a bowl of cereal. To this day, that comp grosses me out. Anyway, Chicks Dig It are fun. Henry Rollins Is No Fun is a classic tune, you know. Reagan Youth, I mean, Reagan Youth is really just Al Pike from Reagan Youth, and I think other people. I saw them at a house show about 4 years ago, actually like six years ago. And I mean, it's honestly just fun to hear the Reagan Youth tunes, because Reagan Youth was a really, really cool band. Other than that, I agree with you, Adam, that Pooza Fest is definitely looking more hype than last year. So
yeah, I mean, I'm... One sec. Here, hold on one sec here, because I got to talk about Honest Don's, because how often do we get to talk about Honest Don's
these days? I mean, honestly, what is Honest Don? I mean, I know it's a... is that owned by anybody, or is that just like a... like who is Honest Don?
So, Fat had two sub-labels, imprints, that existed during the 90s. There was Honest Don's, And then I want to say the other one was called Pink and Black or something like that.
Yes, Pink and Black Records.
Yeah, so and Pink and Black focused on a lot of, I hate to say it, it was like a lot of bands with girls in them was the thing that Pink and Black seemed to do. It wasn't like the Riot Girl thing either. It was just like female fronted punk bands was kind of Pink and Black's thing. I don't know. It seems kind of strange these days that would even exist. I don't know why you wouldn't just have them on the label. But anyways,
I'm going to pause you real quick. According to Wikipedia, that was the explicit agenda of Pink and Black, and it was set up by Fat Mike's wife, Erin Burkett, and his ex-wife now, for the purpose to promote women in punk rock.
Oh, all right. So there you go. So yes, that's the thing in Black did. So Honest Dawn's was as far as I know, and I guess you're looking at Wikipedia. I'm just talking out of my ass here, so maybe you'll know better than me. But they were just one of these sub-labels that Fat had that had like less commercially viable, I guess, bands than were on Fat proper. So there was, I'm trying to think who the hell else was on Honest Dawn's other than Chicks Dig It.
The Submissives, who were the alter ego of Millions of Dead Cops with Pig Champion from, who's Pig Champion in? Was he in Poison Idea?
Poison Idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in Poison Idea.
Submissives, this is crazy. The Submissives were basically an alter ego of Millions of Dead Cops with Pig Champion. And every song was about like hardcore S&M.
Yeah, all right. So, no, yeah, all right. Looking at the Honest Dawn's thing on Wikipedia, they say that, okay, it was for music that didn't fit within the roster of Fat, which I guess might make sense if you're talking about, I don't know, I guess maybe the Submissives, Bad Astronaut was on here, which was that, what was it? Bad Astronaut was a Lagwagon sub-project. Yeah, it was Joey Cave's project outside of Lagwagon, right? So, like, that kind of stuff was on here. But a lot of the bands that were on Honest Dawn's would totally fit on Fat now. Because Fat, I guess, with the signing of Teenage Bottle Rocket, kind of embraced this whole Ramonescore thing. Anything that you would consider Ramonescore before we had that word for it, which I would throw Chicks Dig It in that pile, but also stuff like the Riverdales, that was on Honest Dawn's back in the day, like the Teen Idols, those kind of bands. So I don't know. It was kind of like Little Fat. But what I loved about it was that every Honest Dawn's record that came out had a different label under Honest Dawn's. So like if you look here, I'm looking at the logo on the back of the CD for like Born on the 1st of July, which is Chicks Dig It record. So that one, the label is called Honest Dawn's Canadian Passport. And if I look at From Scene to Shining Scene, it's called Honest Dawn's Deep, Deep Pockets. And, oh, look, okay, all those names are actually on Wikipedia. Thanks, Internet. So depending on what record you would buy, Honest Dawn's would have a slightly different label name, which was super fun.
That is really funny. I particularly like the Submissives. The Submissives album was called An Anvil Will Wear Out Many a Hammer, which I think is a great title for that band. And the subsidiary label is Honest Dawn's Badly Bruised Bottoms.
Yeah, so Honest Dawn's was fun. Don't know what ever happened to that. I guess they just stopped doing it. They consolidated everything back into Fat, which I think has happened because if you look at like the vinyl reissues of the Chicks Dig It stuff, they all just have Fat logos on them, I think. But anyways, yeah, so Pooza, Chicks Dig It's there. Go see Chicks Dig It and whatever else is playing, but mainly Chicks Dig It.
Well, Adam, we're wrapping up the podcast and the end of the year. At Punk News, we always sort of make a big deal about everybody's, you know, top 10, top 20 records, which honestly, and that's one of my favorite things to do all year, is it's the one chance where I get to stand up from my pulpit and yell out to the world which are my very favorite records. I don't think we'll name our favorite records in order, but maybe we can just talk about some jams that we really liked. But before we do that, I'm going to read an email from, who's this email from? This is from Robert. Robert sent us an email, and of course, you can always reach us at podcast@punknews.org. Robert said, I'm glad that even though Get Dead was in a pretty bad accident, they get to finish their Fat tour run. It reminds me that I've been meaning to write you guys and beg you to check out their Fat release, Bad News. It's definitely one of my top picks for 2000. Well, it's definitely one of my picks for top 10 albums this year. So that's Robert. So Robert is recommending Get Dead's new album, Bad News, so be sure to check that out just to see what's happening. So, Adam, not necessarily your top records or even ones that are going to be on your list, but what are a few hype records that people should be checking out this year?
Well, I think that one of the records that, I mean, I'm pretty sure is going to be on the top of a lot of lists, but I feel that less people have talked about kind of on a day-to-day basis than I think should, because it was really, 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 really good, was Direct Hits Brainless God, which came out on Red Scare earlier in the year. And it's just a phenomenally varied and well-written punk rock record. Like if you're a fan of this a little bit of like outside the, a little bit of this outside the punk scene, but nominally still punk rock stuff, like that you'd hear from a band like, say, Titus Andronicus. This is a band that is very much within this sort of like punk news crowd that is doing, you know, a very comparable thing. So the Direct Hit record is really, really good. I think that deserves a look by a lot of people. I think one of the things that's going to show up on a lot of lists this year, and it's not a band that we talk about a lot, has been the Radioactivity record, which is the guys from the Markmen doing that. So if you're a Markmen fan, Radioactivity is right in the same vein as that. On the same note, and I don't really know if this is a band that anyone cares about other than me, but you guys should be keeping an eye on the Mind Spiders, which is the other guy from the Markmen. They had a record come out called Inhumanistic earlier this year, which was also very good. So I think that the Markmen contingent is going to play a role on a lot of lists, even though we don't really talk about them a lot, because a lot of people seem to dig those bands. So yeah, go look at the Mind Spiders and go look at Radioactivity.
A couple of records I was really hot on this year was that Jello Biafra's new album. Honestly, it's probably not including his work with the Melvins. I would say the new Jello Biafra record, which is called White People and the Damage Done, best Jello Biafra record since the Dead Kennedys. Because sometimes his record long-winded or, you know, not quite rocking enough, not quite, I want to say maybe not quite practiced enough, but this new record is what Jello's been like promising to do for years. It's really, really good. Also, Chrome, I don't know if the people know who Chrome is. Chrome was an early avant-garde punk band. They're actually, you could argue they were the first industrial band, although like they don't sound like Nine Inch Nails, but you can definitely tell Nine Inch Nails is influenced by them. They just released an album composed of material that they recorded between their two classic albums that they forgot about, and Adam, I gotta say, man, for an Outtakes album, I was amazed at how good this Chrome album is. It's as good as their regular albums. It's really far out there. Tracks are like 10 minutes long. They're super scary. They're super reverbed out. It basically sounds like a sci-fi horror, the whole album. The album is called, it's like a combination of the two albums from that period. Give me 1 second to look it up. I think it's called like Half Lip Moves? Is that what it's called? That's the real album. The album is called Half Machine Lip Moves. No, that's not it. That's the real one. Ah, well. Pay attention to my top 10 list. It'll be on there somewhere. The new Chrome album is really, really, really good. Adam, I will say, often it usually seems like there's like one or two breakouts that are definitely going to be on the reader's top 10 list and the editor's top 10 list. But this year, man, I don't know if there's a clear horse in the first race. I think it's anybody's game as to who's going to be number one on both the reader's top 10 list and Punk News' top 10 list.
Yeah, I don't think there's been one thing that has completely dominated. I think there's going to be a lot of... There's a lot of stuff that's going to be now we determine all these lists with math. So there's going to be a lot of stuff that falls into a very similar range that I think is going to be in contention, and it's going to be one or two, you know, contributions from one of the editors that's obviously going to knock one of these over the top. So you're going to have Restorations in contention. You're going to have Reviver in contention. You're going to have
Sky Ferreira.
Sky Ferreira. Now what's the Reviver, the other band, Iron Sheik.
Oh, Iron Sheik, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, those guys are all going to be in there. I think that, you know, you're definitely going to have a lot of bands that you know people are going to be saying something about. A lot of people are going to say something about the Bad Religion record that came out. But is it going to show up in, like, enough places that this cumulatively going to push it over the top? I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that's going to kind of, like, be in that very similarly ranked pool. So we'll have to wait and see.
Fair enough. The Chrome album is called Half Machine from the Sun, And Adam, I guess we can close the do you have a tune that you want to play on tonight's podcast?
Do I have a tune that I want to play on tonight's podcast? No, I'm not even on my real computer. I have nothing.
Do you want to go far out and listen to like an 8-minute Chrome track? Can people handle the awesomeness and the weirdness that is Chrome? I think we should do it. Let's throw him in the deep end, Adam. Let's throw him in the deep end.
Okay.
So this is a track from Chrome, Staring Through Your Door, and it is on the new Chrome's Outtakes album that actually, if you ask me, is as good as their normal albums. And it is called, the album is called Half Machine from the Sun. Nothing I can tell. When did I ever
factory. Fantasy in the factory. Fantasy in the factory. Ah, fantasy in the factory.
Podcast. Adam, thanks for being here with me tonight, rapping along, snapping along, tapping along.
I do what I can.
And thanks to Sound Guy Nairman, who's our guiding light, is always recording this. Sound Guy Nairman, thanks for being here with us in spirit.
White people gotta be technical all the time.
And as always, the comments made on the Punk News Podcast are the comments made of the people making them exclusively and do not in any way represent the views of punknews.org. You can reach us at podcast at punknews.org. That's podcast at punknews.org. And until then, we'll see you next week.